Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Where's our car?
It's been stolen.
We'll call our insurance agent. I'm right here.
Oh, hey, Jen. You got our invite.
Love the dress.
Are we covered for this?
Of course. That's why you chose Auto Owners. We work together to get the right coverage. So when the unexpected happens, you know you're covered.
That's simple human sense.
Now, how do we get to the airport?
Take mine.
Thanks, Jen.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners make sense for you.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay. Here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Mark Brody's got a Bears hit.
And so I wanted to get into the mind of somebody in that Bears locker room about Justin Jefferson and what makes him tick. CJ CD Gardner Johnson was the one I spoke to about Justin Jefferson.
Why is he great, though? Can you pinpoint it?
Man, he can do block, he can catch, he can catch screens, run the ball. He's one of a kind. He's a unicorn.
Now, we got to stop with the unicorn. We have to stop. Not everybody is a unicorn.
I want you to get mad.
I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write.
We just saw one in Victor Wembanyama.
He's a unicorn and he's special.
It is unicorn. It's that unique.
Yeah, I mean, he's a unicorn for sure.
Put the tape on. That's all I'm going to say. This guy's a unicorn.
He is a unicorn.
We call it kind of like that unicorn fastball.
Unicorn!
Enough already.
That's the only unicorn who's been in our sports diet this week. Apologies to Darnell Wright, but he's not one either.
You know, yeah, I got a joke that right now. He's a little bit of a unicorn.
I guess he's saying rare stuff. Unicorns are rare. That's the best guess I have. I don't have a horn.
Dan Campbell. He's an amazing person. One time someone told me he is a unicorn.
The idea of using coal out wide.
He's a little bit of a unicorn.
I'm Michael Jordan. If you're doing it, stop it. Get some help.
I'm Team Tony Wise on this.
There's no such thing as a unicorn as an offensive lineman. Anthony Munoz may have been a unicorn. Randall McDaniel might have been a unicorn. And Dwight Stevenson.
Let's stop. Stop. That broke me on the unicorn thing.
You had to stand up.
I did.
And for yourself and for your team in that moment.
And for unicorns.
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window. Open it and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell and I'm not gonna take this anymore!
Unicorns are cool, but I prefer dinosaurs, honestly.
The official adventures of Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. We got a full boat for you today, including a 5 o'clock hour with everyone's favorite coach, Dave Wanstead. He will be here. We will talk Bears, maybe a little college football. Pitt's got a big game coming up this weekend. No? All right. Well, maybe not. Also on the show today, Mark Grody is going to join us. He's going to let us know what's happening at Hallis Hall. That's a thing. And then in a few minutes, in 20 minutes, in fact, we're going to talk with Patrick Manley about the Bears, about special teams, about Rex Grossman. There's a lot to get done. Alex is here. Tanny is going to be well fed. That man is Matt Spiegel.
Hello. We're going to hear from Scott Boras a little bit later on a Cubs target as well.
I noticed that you guys were like, you just ignored my idea of allowing the listener to do that.
Oh, no, I liked that idea. I didn't give you I didn't give you proper support and love in the text thread. I admit. I didn't even click like on it.
But after I sent it.
I'm gonna go do that now.
After I sent it, I was like, we probably shouldn't. We probably shouldn't do that.
No, you should.
Because call it what you will. No, I think that's a ridiculous idea.
I mean, there are other.
Let me put it another way. There are other better ideas, in my opinion.
I think that's fair. Black guys sound like Hawk. Like awful idea too.
Hug a Jew day.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Terrible idea.
Alex is like, wait, this stuff happened?
Yes. Hug a Jew day happened.
And black guys sound like Hawk. Happened here
at this esteemed radio station. This is why we get the respect that we deserve in the Chicago market.
It's this type of stuff that I forget to tell Layla when she's like, hey, give me some score history. I always forget that type of stuff, and that's the type of stuff I should be telling her. No?
I don't know.
No?
I mean, there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff.
No, there's a lot.
But I don't think that was a bad idea. I just thought, you know, like there are other better ideas.
I was just so overwhelmed by how great Tanny did with it yesterday.
It's Tanny's bit. He didn't even let us in on it.
He did not.
Like, I would have sat down and written up some puns, and I'd like to play along. I'm a punster.
I figured that there were some people that were probably starting to, you know, Cub fans or Sox fans. We're probably doing the same thing with their roster.
Feel free to send them in, folks. If you want to get your Tanny becoming Boris on, you want to be a punster about a Cubs player, a Sox player, you send those in via text and we will collect them and get to them later on in the show.
That's true.
Don't be a chicken. You need your Benintendies.
Oh,
sorry, guys.
See?
I'll show myself out.
Alex, yeah, thanks for your call.
Speaks, the Bears have a really interesting game on Sunday, not just for the season record and the playoffs part. That part is obvious. What I'm excited about when it comes to this particular game is that this is the first time that we get to see a Ben Johnson rematch, that we get the opportunity to be like, hey, you remember what happened in week one? Now what do you do? Like, how do you fight back? Like, what are the changes that you make, the corrections that you make? Your team is completely different now altogether.
Your team is completely different now.
So it's a new squad, basically, that he's running out there that's learned a lot. So what does it look like when Ben Johnson has an opportunity to look at the tape of his team versus another team? And will this be another marker for us to be like, you know what? Bears head coach is pretty smart.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point. Because we know what Ben can do with the bye week as he restructured the entire run game. And they have come out since that bye. They're averaging 5.2 yards per carry since the bye. So that's what he decided to work on then. So what does he do with a game plan when he's got a team that beat him? And remember, the Lions, they beat the hell out of Brian Flores.
They beat the hell out of the Bears, too.
I know. But like 40-plus points. No, I mean like in Ben's time there. Ben was 4-0 against Flores, you know, as the play-calling offensive coordinator. And now he's 4-1. The lone loss was that week one game. So now what does he do with theoretically an improved quarterback and certainly an improved running game? I think do you have an idea? Have you been thinking about what he's going
to
do?
I've just been thinking about it's different. Like there are things that you have to consider. It's not optimal because that place is very loud, even with a team that's not as good as they were last year. It's a loud place, so some of the things that you are checking into and out of might be a little bit more difficult. Have we really seen Theo Benedict in an environment like this against a pass rush that can be generated by Brian Flores? Are there now things that he saw Caleb not be able to handle that he thinks, A, Caleb can now handle, or two, he has put in some things to help him handle it? Like, if you're seeing this blitz, like, we're going to go hot here, and that's like your only read if you see that they are blitzing from this angle or this angle. Like, strong safety comes down and you like, oh, that guy's, or Metellus. I love Metellus.
Yeah, man.
He's a good player.
Not Martellus Bennett.
I also love Martellus Bennett.
I know you do, but I think of him every time. It's Josh Metellus. Metellus is one of those wonderful hybrid toys that defensive coordinators in the modern NFL love to have.
Yeah.
Could be a safety, could be a backer, could be a nickel, could be a D-end every once in a while.
And they've lined him up at all sorts of places. Does Caleb have a better understanding of what he saw after being able to watch himself with Ben? You know what I mean? Like now, instead of trying to get the answers from the previous coaching staff about Minnesota, and that changed twice throughout last year,
mm-hmm.
for him to be like, okay, I understand the concepts of what we're running,
yeah,
and this is what happened in game one, I now see it better because Ben and I are in a place where he can explain it to me and I can go, I got it, and now let's go attack it.
I hope that that's the case. That's certainly the goal. I'm not convinced that Caleb is there for that kind of thing yet, but you could see it in the scripted stuff, you know? And then we know that Caleb is comfortable in the fourth. In the first matchup, it was J.J. McCarthy who was comfortable in the fourth and dominated, and Caleb did not. So maybe his overall comfort will be there. I think the run game, as the dominant engine of the offense, just makes everything easier for Caleb. So that, I mean, I'm just so glad that that has been established. That gives me the most calm going into this matchup because, I think that Brian Flores was able to stop the run without doing much to try and scheme to stop the run the first time around.
No, you're 100% right. So that's something that they can kind of say, hey, we have improved upon and we will stick with. And then the other part to me is sometimes you have to send a monster to kill a monster, and Brian Flores is a maniac. So is Ben Johnson. And I'm sure that it's been sitting with him like, we lost that game.
Yeah.
But we were prepared that game.
Right, but you know the stuff that like Greg Olsen pointed out, when you see that the blitz is coming, just attack that spot.
Yep.
Like that play where he didn't do that.
Don't look left if the blitz is coming right and you know your hot is on the right side.
I assume that that's some of the ways that Ben Johnson has attacked Brian Flores with Jared Goff in the past. Is like, hey, Jared, you know that Brian's going to do this thing. When he does this thing, just go ahead and just toss it right over to him, to the man who like goes into the space where he sent the people from. Like, is Caleb ready to understand that and execute that kind of thing? I don't know. I don't know if he is. He needs to eventually. Maybe he is a little bit more this week. But I feel like that stuff's still a work in progress.
It is. But that's why I'm looking forward to it, because now it's 2 months later. It's 2 months later and you have an opportunity to go, okay, we learned the lessons of the first game. And now we're going to adjust.
Yeah.
Like we're going to put pressure on you instead of allowing. And I also mean that defensively, too, because that's what I would like to see them do.
To
like,
JJ.
To make his life uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's I'm glad you're bringing up the defense, because that's Ben's, you know, while it's Dennis Allen's purview, Ben's the man in charge. So are you going to attack JJ or not? JJ was comfortable.
Very. In the fourth quarter, for sure.
Yes, yes. He led drives to dominate that thing and pull the Vikings back. I don't want to see that again. This is a kid who's looked like a kid an awful lot of times. We talked about it in Turn the Page yesterday. He's struggling after the first 15. They're having those conversations. That like JJ doesn't really get it other than what he and O'Connell are working on up close.
I remember those conversations.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hate those conversations.
Yeah. It's no fun.
I call nine. Nine comes out and I got to understand like, okay, he can't be at his peak performance throughout 3.5 hours. So.
Yeah, we've referenced it, Tanny. You've played it. Do all the listeners understand that's JJ McCarthy talking about his own alter ego?
I call him Nine. Nine comes out and I got to understand like, okay, he can't be at his peak performance throughout 3.5 hours. So how do I find little ways, you know, on the sideline, you know, get back to my breath, get back to my visualization that could kind of maintain that intense, you know, competitive stamina throughout the whole game?
Alex, what's your nickname for yourself?
for a certain part of yourself.
For when I am terrible at my job for most of the day and then turn it on at the end? Is that what you're talking about?
Your 5 o'clock hours have been really good. They really have. Something about the 5 o'clock hour lets Alex just relax, you know?
From 2:30 to 3, we're good. That's the first 15. It's 3 to 5 where there is a huge issue.
There's a lot of chaos in there. I need to do a better job with that, you know? Like, in taking care of that chaos.
Yeah, you got to coach him up, man.
Yeah.
Come on, Lawrence.
We'll get you through it. Like, we'll definitely get you through it.
That's good self-awareness out of you, though, Alex. That's impressive.
There's still a lot I need to learn.
Yeah. In structure... you're making more plays in structure now than you were a few months ago.
You guys don't see him dancing around sometimes when he's putting a guest on the show. He's just dancing around back there.
Tell you what, the body language is better than it was last year. Something goes wrong, he used to just like slump in his chair, fall apart. You got to be a leader of men on that side. Teddy doesn't know how to do anything without you leading him.
I'll just use the 4 o'clock hour to slump in my chair.
Do that. Do that. When we come back, Patrick Manley is going to join us, and we're going to spray to all fields with Patrick. There's Bear stuff that we want to talk about. There's old Bear stuff that we want to talk about. There's stuff going on in the league that's interesting from a special teams perspective. So don't go anywhere. Patrick Manley joins us next on the...
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Gore.
I was special teaming it up all during the week.
Patrick Manley.
My all-time favorite Bear would have to be Patrick Manley.
Bears long snapper for 16 seasons.
Manley is the long snapper, and they fake it. And it's Maynard, the holder, and he fires the pass, and it's caught for the touchdown. Brian Urlacher on the reception. Pretty good imagination.
Craft beer mogul.
Are you drinking the Kool-Aid?
I'm drinking a long snapper IPA.
Patrick Manley.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Yes.
I got one.
That's the
I've been waiting for that, man. Yeah. I was hoping I'd get
you
one.
You
got
to be thrilled, huh?
Yes. Let's go into my diary tonight.
Patrick Manley with Spiegel and Holmes.
And a ton of stuff. Of course, the Manley snap.
On 670 The Score.
Before Chicago takes on Minnesota, tune in Sunday from 9 a.m. until noon to your local Ford dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score. Olin Kreutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully will get you set for the game. Then immediately following the game, they'll have instant reaction on the postgame show presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing and Arturo Tires. All of it can be heard on The Score and the Odyssey app. And with that, we bring in Patrick Manley, who joins us here on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. What's up, Patrick?
What's up, guys? I'd like to be addressed as 65 for the rest of this segment.
65, please. The alter yes. ego. So what did 65 yes. do on game day? And what did you have to do to enable 65 to live his best life?
I would always tape my left wrist first and then tape my right wrist. No, I was just a long snapper. Guys, man, I was just living.
He just show up from the golf course and be ready.
No,
to
play. That would be practiced down in Bourbonnais, man. That game day was a little different. I did have to, you know, tune it in a little bit and get ready to go. Make sure Robbie and Brad could do their thing.
We talked about you the other day, and we're looking forward to talking to you because Rex Grossman was on The Score, man. Your dude.
And yeah.
I remember that you guys obviously were buddies and would have a couple drinks sometimes after games and all of that. And knowing that you were a listener of the station – who ends up working at the station. And then Rex talked about being a listener of the station who freaking hated the station and now was on the other day. And it was really cool and honest and open. That's really nice that Rex is in a good, comfortable spot. It was great to hear him on the show the other day, on the midday show.
Yeah, it's good for that he came back on there because, I mean, he was such a polarizing figure. I mean, Lovey always saying Rex is our quarterback, Rex is our quarterback, and you wanted him to be great, and you were hoping for him to be great. Career didn't go as well as planned, you know, his injuries he had or whatever, but it's good to hear him back. I mean, he means a lot to the city of Chicago, took us to a Super Bowl. Unfortunately, we didn't win, but I just wish his career was better. He was a good teammate, good guy. But it was good to hear him.
Do you remember talking about the score with him back in the day when he was getting it?
I don't, but I know a lot of guys, you know, either hated the score or we hate listened. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
We did both. Obviously, on postgame, we always listened to Doug and OB, but there were times you would listen. You'd be like, you guys don't even know what anything you're talking about.
No,
you know, there'd be story. You wouldn't know anything is going on in the locker room, but. Yeah, I mean, it's hard, too, because you're in the opinion business. And I was doing it with you, Speegs, every day. You got to come up with stuff to talk about. You got to give your opinion. You got to put yourself out there. Sometimes you're right. Sometimes you're wrong. I do it now. There's times it's hard to talk about players that are playing poorly. But I try to do it as a coach. I try to do that all the time. And I'll tell you what, though, guys, it's a lot more enjoyable now with the Bears at 6-3 and where they're at. Studying film and doing all that stuff is a lot more fun. So any of the guys listening that are playing, listening now, they'll probably listen a little bit more.
Yeah, and Speegs, Zach and I were the guys who ended up getting the
wrath. Yes, you did.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, you did.
Well, and who you had on the air back then, too. They you talk about opinions.
Yes. Yes, there's no doubt about
Who's
that.
Who's this? Yeah.
Exactly.
Hey, easy, pal.
So Patrick, let's talk about this quarterback and them being 6-3. When you watch last week's game, walk me through the emotions of maybe being like, oh, here we go again, to, whoa, they won.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. What I'm finding out, the guy's a winner. And guys are talking about belief and winning in the known or whatever they're talking about. That's fine. That's some good locker room speak. I like all that. That gets them all together. But they believe in each other, man. That's the thing that I'm seeing, that they get in the fourth quarter, these one-score games. They're going to be that way in the fourth quarter. That's the way it is in the NFL. But they believe, and the young man's doing it. It hasn't been pretty up to that point. There's still room for improvement. But as far as belief is that clutch gene, what you want in a quarterback, I'm definitely in on that, and it's been fun to watch.
Man, that it really is cool, and the numbers bear that out because it's not just the running that happens in the fourth quarter. Our friend Jason Leisure just wrote about it over at the Sun-Times, and you know, in the final 5 minutes of games, he's first in yards per pass. He hasn't thrown an INT. His quarterback rating in the last 5 minutes of games is 143.8. So I don't know what that is other than clutch and calm.
I think it's clutch, man. I'll give you – so we were watching – when Olin and I were at Revolution Brewing, we're watching that Cincinnati game, right? And we're sitting next to each other, and the funny thing is we were in a room upstairs watching the game, thinking it was over, and on the way down, everything started happening. And we got to watch the final part of it. And when the offense got the ball, Olin just said under his breath, out loud, he's like, all right, Caleb. Instead of like, oh, no. And I looked at him, I'm like, you're confident in this guy. And he's like, I mean, you could just tell. I think everybody is. I mean, we're confident, you know, on this side of the microphone, not on the field or whatever. But it's just a good feeling I think we have in Chicago about him.
When it comes to a rematch, and the Bears get the Vikings this weekend, and the first game did not go well for the Bears, what do you hope they correct, and what do you think you see that's better now than in week one?
Well, the biggest thing is funny. I was rewatching the TV copy today, and it's just all the penalties. They had 12 penalties, offsides, all that stuff, and they just did not have command of that offense. And it looks like now they're getting that way. So I feel like that's going to happen. And then the run game. I mean, you talk about the best double team in the NFL, Jonah Jackson and Darnell Wright. Whoever that three technique or whoever they're going against, it's got to strap it up on Sunday or Monday or whenever they play. So they've got that going well. So I just see a different team, and it starts with Caleb. It starts with the command of the offense. And then the run game is just – it's as good as anybody in the NFL. So I think that can now win games and help Caleb. It'll be interesting to see what Brian Flores does to combat that. Does he stay in the too high shell? Does he bring guys down and bring another defender down there to open up the passing game? Because a lot of teams are still respecting Caleb's arm. So I don't know what we're going to see out of Brian Flores. He seems like every week he dials up a different game plan. But as far as the Bears, keep cleaning up the penalties. You know, they only had three last week, which is a lot better. But this run game is it's pretty fun to watch.
Explain the too high shell to people and what that was in the first game, the first matchup of this game.
Well, you're going to see, you know, two safeties back. You're going to see a light box. You're going to see not the extra defender. You're not going to see that safety. So too high would be the two safeties. You're not going to see that extra safety down in the box. So as an O-lineman, when you're counting defenders, you're going to see seven or eight instead of six or seven, depending on how many offensive people you have in your box, considering whether you have 12 personnel, which is two tight ends. So it just really is how many people are down within 7 yards of the line of scrimmage. Will you put more down there to stop the run, or will you continue having guys, you know, back shell of the defense to contain Caleb's arm?
I read an interesting piece in Sports Illustrated by Connor Orr, and I'm going to send this to you, Patrick. It's the cover story on SI. It's about special teams. It's about how special teams this year has evolved, where there's a whole bunch of blocks, like the blocks themselves is going at a higher rate. And there's a lot of conversation about kickoff strategy and using a knuckle kick to land in the land.
Dirty kick or whatever, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you know about all of this stuff. I guess the question is, why was it that the rules were the only thing that allowed for there to be an evolution here? And what do you think of that evolution?
The evolution of the blocks, you want to start with that one?
Sure, let's start there.
I don't know. I do not know. I mean, I'm being honest. I don't know why so many field goals are blocked. I think Minnesota has already blocked two this year. I mean, it's just, I've been in so many meetings where you say, okay, this is the weakness. Let's attack it. But you still can't get home. For some reason, they're getting home. I don't know why. Maybe it's because that they're kicking longer kicks and the balls are coming out a little flatter. And are those the ones getting blocked? I don't know the studies on that. But it is interesting. I mean, you're seeing more punts blocked. You're seeing more punts affected. I mean, the Bears got one tipped in the first week against the Minnesota Vikings. And then as far as the kickoff rules, I'm still trying to figure that out. I want to go sit with somebody this offseason, whether it's Tabor or Tobe or one of my old coaches, and kind of figure out why guys can't return better. Why are they hitting big returns? What does the dirty kick do with timing and all that kind of stuff? It's always called timing and spacing when you're covering kicks between, you know, like the kickoff and kickoff return. It's just, to me, it seems – It's one of the hardest things to do is to block on kickoff return in that tight of a space and turn around and block somebody. But the kickoff rule and the new kickoff, I like it because they are returning the ball and it adds more to the adds a more exciting element to the game. But I still haven't figured that one out either. It just looks like it's a very hard play to coach. Looks like it's a very hard play to play as well.
Was Robbie ever experimenting where it's like not just kick it through the back of the end zone or like,
yeah, he would do like a mortar kick. So one that would be really high to like the 10-yard line. So you'd get the more hang time. So it's, you know, obviously the rules are different now. So you could take off when the ball was kicked, but guys would work on like a shorter kick with a higher hang time. So you could cover faster and make it more like a punt. But now just the game's so different with that kickoff rule that it's, you know, there are different kicks, but they're okay. Yes, there'd be a squib kick. You remember Devin Hester? Everybody squib kick to Devin.
Mm-hmm.
And that would cause a lot of problems because a lot of kickers were not used to doing that. And now everybody's gotten better because they start practicing more on these different kicks. But yeah, they were doing that more and more. But the rules now on kickoff and kickoff return have changed so much that it just changes everything.
I can't wait to read this article that Lawrence grabbed. Connor mm-hmm. Orr from Sports Illustrated. And because there are some special teams coordinators, John Fossil's longtime guy in special teams, says it's the special teams are the wild, wild west. There's a lot of teams doing a lot of different stuff. There's no groupthink, Patrick.
That's why I can't figure it out. Because when I turn on tape and watch all different, I see so many different ways to do it. Normally you would see a strategy on kickoff return to say, you're either going to run a wedge and then they took the wedge out, right? You're going to run wedge wedge left, wedge right, wedge up the middle, and a counter. Then they went to you could only do a two-man wedge. So you could add more variety to that. Now you're trying to see them just trying to figure it out because you don't know your coverage guys. It is so hard to block on kickoff return. So I think they're trying to figure it out as well.
And you even know, figuring out your counter. Personnel on it.
That's the other thing, yes. So it's like, so you look at last week, I was trying to go back and say, you know, remember when I talked to, I guess I talked to the other show about changing up your personnel. Well, it's hard to do that because when you have injuries, you're already changing it up anyway. So I went back and compared to some of the positions that were on kickoff last week, or I'm sorry, against the Bengals, against the Giants, and there are changes naturally just because of injuries. So it is hard to do that because especially this time of year, you got so much attrition and guys coming and going. And it's hard to coach this. I mean, I'm telling you, it has got to be one of the hardest things to, as a player, to block and cover and do all that stuff on kickoff, kickoff return. So as a coach, it's very hard to coach and figure it out.
Patrick, as always, we appreciate the knowledge. Thank you, sir.
All right, you bet. Have a good week.
Thanks, Patrick. All right, go Bears. I'm going to read this report, this special teams article, and get back to you.
There's a lot there, Spiegs. Like, it's
just
a lot.
Just give me time. I need a little time.
I know. You got it.
All right, we're entering into a tough part of the day for Alex. At 3 o'clock, it's just he tends to fall apart.
Well, I got something for him, and apparently the NBA's got something for the Bulls because it's been a rough week and a half for your Chicago Bulls. We'll talk about what happened last night where Detroit had nobody and won by a lot of points. Next, here on The Score.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Where's our car?
It's been stolen.
Well, call our insurance agent. I'm right here.
Oh, hey, Jen. You got our invite.
Love the dress.
Are we covered for this?
Of course. That's why you chose Auto Owners. We work together to get the right coverage. So when the unexpected happens, you know you're covered.
That's simple human sense.
Now, how do we get to the airport? Take mine.
Thanks, Jen.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners make sense for you.
Having control over your healthcare is a relief, yet so many Americans struggle to find that freedom at a price they can afford. That's why Christians across the country are turning to Redeem HealthShare Ministry. Choose your doctors, your hospitals, your treatments, all while keeping costs low. At Redeem, faith meets real affordability and the freedom to care your way. It's healthcare that lifts your spirit. Join the community today at RedeemHealthShare.org.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.